this crazy thing that we call a 401k, and it's just total madness.
This is why I stopped really caring to work with the retiree space, even with the match. 401k sure. is not a great idea. The financial industry says you should take out no more than $40,000 a year taxable. Mm-hmm. By the way, how much does your advisor charge?
1%.
1%. So they take $10,000. They're making 25% of what you get paid in retirement. Monte Carlo, Trinity Study, all these theories basically say if you end up in retirement with X amount of money and you live for 30 years, how much can you take out in each year?
It makes it harder for you to access your money throughout your life. I think that's a negative for a lot of people. I think that's a positive for a majority of people. What are alternatives to 401k? So if someone said, all right, Matt, I'm gonna be like you, I'm not gonna contribute to the system, the 401k system. What do I do? Is the stock market something that's okay?
Regret doesn't come from making a bad decision. It comes from not making a decision.
This is gonna be tough for me to say. Hey guys, it's Caleb Williams. Matt Love, welcome to the Better Wealth Studio.
What's up, dude? Thanks for having me. It's beautiful. This office, it feels so homey.
It's so homey. It's home. I love it.
It's wonderful.
Let's jump right into a 401k. We were watching a video that by Chris Crone, who's talking about 401k suck because of a lot of different reasons, but he's pretty much saying real estate would be way better.
A 401k did not make this dream possible. In fact, the 401k is a scam. This crazy thing that we call a 401k, and it's just total madness. Yeah.
You had a lot of good zingers. Let's just talk about your philosophy around 401k. Yeah. What things you like about a 401k, which might be hard, but things you like about a 401k.
Yeah, let me think about that one.
But then what are alternatives and what are the things that you don't like about a 401k? And I think, again, my hope is to get people to think differently, challenge the way that people think.
Yeah.
And so go.
It's just the alternative, right? I think a better educated consumer can make better decisions for themselves. So when we talk in generalities, it's not like everybody needs to do what we're talking about. My gosh, that's the worst takeaway that you could have from this video. So what I like about 401k is a lot of people don't want to be involved in what they do. A lot of people want to go to work and not think about what to do with the extra money. In that case, put your money in a government-sponsored plan, have an advisor charge you a fee for the rest of your life, don't give a crap about the performance, and certainly don't look at it, because that's like the rule number one for stress. And you can take advantage of a match. If your company has a match, cool. You know, people say it's free money. I say it just helps take care of the tax bill on your exit. But that's cool. It's not my plan. It's your plan. So I think a lot of people should do that because a lot of people don't want hands-on. They don't want control. They trust the government. It's hard to say. I got choked up there for a second. So some people, it's great.
Yeah. My whole thing is if people understood the actual exit plan,
yeah,
like let's look at perfect case scenario. Taxes don't increase.
Okay.
Okay. You're making 8% every single year.
Ooh, it's compounding every
year. It's compounding every year.
Yeah.
Deferred. Yeah. And then you get to retirement and you learn this thing called Monte Carlo, 4%.
Yeah.
And you're like, I've spent my entire life. I have $2 million and it pays a fraction. $2 million is a lot of money. When you look at actual what people have in 401ks. But let's say like everything works out, you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked when you understand how distribution works.
How little you get to keep.
Right.
So let's talk about that for a second.
Yep.
This is fun. Monte Carlo, Trinity Study, all these theories basically say if you end up in retirement with X amount of money and you live for 30 years, how much can you take out in each year?
Mm-hmm.
And so anyone who's contributing to a 401k should understand this principle because eventually, if you're saving money, you're eventually going to want to spend it.
Yep.
So figure out how much you can spend. Let's say you have $2 million like you said. Monte Carlo says what? What do you... Which theory do you subscribe? Anywhere from
2.5 to 4%.
2.5 is super conservative. 4% is on the little more risky side. So what it means is that 4% of the 2 million you could take out every year for 30 years and statistically speaking, probably not run out of money.
Yep.
Okay. So $2 million, which you and I agree is a boatload of money, is going to pay you $80,000 a year. How many people have $2 million in an account?
Yeah.
And they certainly didn't expect...
If you have $1 million in an account, now we're talking...
It's an anomaly.
$40,000. That's taxable.
$40,000 taxable. Now, here's the part that's funny. Remember that little 1% fee that nobody really cares about because it's only 1% of the account value? If you have $1 million in your account and you go to retire, you're allowed... The financial industry says you should take out no more than $40,000 a year taxable.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, how much does your advisor charge?
1%.
1%. So they take... $10,000. They're making 25% of what you get paid in retirement. And let me say this another way. They only need 4 clients just like you to duplicate your income for their lifestyle.
Yep.
Four clients. It's not your retirement account. It's the advisor's retirement account. Because when they're ready to retire, they just sell the book of business.
Let's talk about this, because 401ks is like the best thing that ever happened to asset managers, because it literally was like, you're telling me we can automate people to invest in money, penalize them if they take out their money, and we're going to be able to make more because you're deferring, so we get to charge a percentage on a higher amount, even though that full amount is not something that you're going to be able to realize, but we're going to be able to take a fee off the full amount.
100%. So if they worded it another way and they said, you know, put money in this account, the CPA says, I'm going to save you money on taxes. So the client thinks they're saving these tax dollars. The consumer is going to pay a fee to the advisor on money that the consumer has to give to the IRS. The IRS doesn't share in your risk. The advisor doesn't share in your risk, but they're going to take a portion on money that the client would never see. So in other words, if you managed $1 million 401k and I managed a $700,000 after-tax investment, you're going to make more money.
Yep.
But if you liquidated your 401k and 30% went to the government, you would keep the same amount that I would keep.
Yep.
So as an advisor, they're incentivized to invest in pre-taxed accounts that have rules and red tape about access.
Okay. So let's try your best. And before we talk about alternatives, what are things that you like about a 401k? I'll go first.
I thought I said one already.
It forces you to save. And there is a portion. If your employer is going to match, I think from a mathematical standpoint, that's solid. And so you're forcing people to save or invest. The employer match can be a benefit. And I know this is gonna be tough for me to say. And it makes it harder for you to access your money throughout your life. I think that's a negative for a lot of people. I think that's a positive for a majority of people. The fact of the matter is, you can't mess this up over the next 30 years. You're going to default be better off than if you had access to your money. We teach a lot of different strategies, but you also have to realize we're talking to the top 5% of people out there that generate value, and they're not going to spend every dollar just because they have it in their account. Those are some of the positives.
Yeah.
But with all that said, I want to hear your thoughts before we go into the alternatives of a 401k.
It's funny. So I'm almost going to contradict what you just said.
Yeah.
I think it's a passive way to invest. So there's a lot of people just don't want to be involved. They want to push it off to somebody else, because it also, I think that same demographic also likes to point fingers and blame. They don't want to take responsibility. So if it goes down or if things don't work out, they can blame somebody else. They can blame the advisor or taxation or the stock market. Because it's hands off for them. It's some extra thing that they're not involved with that they can say, oh, didn't work out because of X, Y, Z, and they don't take ownership. I think some people actually like that idea. It's my opinion.
Any positives too?
That's it. They don't have to take the ownership over the success or failure of that account.
So you're essentially saying, if you don't want to look yourself in the mirror and say, I'm responsible. 401ks for you, because you can make that the.
I have family members that don't want to look in the mirror and take responsibility for things. Yeah, I think a lot.
Because you can always blame the market.
Always blame somebody else.
You can always blame someone else, and you can't blame yourself. That's really interesting. I think a lot of people are in jobs that they hate for that same reason.
Bro, and it's sad. That's so sad to think about. They didn't. I had a podcast interview two weeks ago with a guy who's a comedian, and he was so insightful. I did not expect this, but he said, "Look, you're going to find yourself in the wrong room at a couple of points in your life, I guarantee it. You can either choose to stay in the room or you can choose to get out of that room."
That's good.
And when do you want to make the choice? Quicker or 10 years down the road when you're full of regret?
Yep.
Regret doesn't come from, typically, most of the time, regret doesn't come from making a bad decision. It comes from not making a decision.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, we all have a couple of regrets from decisions. That's called college. And that's what you pay for, education.
Yeah, I think there's a lot that we could say about that, but let's go on to what are alternatives to 401k. So if someone said, all right, Matt, I'm going to be like you, I'm not going to contribute to the system, the 401k system, what do I do? Because I think it's easy to just beat up on what other people say, but what are better alternatives?
Everybody's unique. I get along mostly with entrepreneurial-minded people that love their family, okay? Yep. I want to take care of my family first. That's the number one thing. That's it. As long as they're taken care of, I can give myself permission to take more risk in my own business. If I have a surplus of cash, I like the idea of investing in passive real estate. Is it passive right now if you get involved? Probably not, because the market's crazy and interest rates are crazy. There's not much cash flow to be made. So I shy away from prescribing to people what to do to be successful. What I do know is that to give yourself confidence to go to the next level is you have to understand what you can control and cover those bases so that there's no risk. I know that if something happens to me, family's taken care of. I know that if something happens to me and I don't die, I have stuff in place to take care of my income and all of that. Now I have a permission slip to go do what I want. And personally, business and real estate, those are my two.
Yep. Yep. And I
doubled down a lot on my own personal business with marketing and branding and employees, stuff like that, because I think this is something else I think a lot of people are hoping to get permission to go in this direction is that you can control your income. Remember, if you're in the wrong room, get out of that room. If you don't like your gig, your job, get out of that job. No one, I had a college professor in grad school who grew up in Russia. And in Russia at the time, they would choose what you were going to do as a career.
Wow.
You didn't have a choice, bro.
Wow.
And of course, there's no growth in technology or in these areas of the economy because people didn't care about what they were doing. They were told they were going to do that the rest of their life.
Yeah.
This guy wanted to be a math teacher in America. That was better for him than he was teaching calculus in America. And he thought that was the greatest thing in the world. I'm like, I don't like the decision, but my gosh, good for you for getting out of that room.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's fair to say that you are speaking to entrepreneurs. The person that maybe we'll just call them value creators, the person that yes. wants to create more than they consume.
Yep. 100%. That's where you get fulfillment.
Because we can also say that you are your greatest asset. Like the ability, what you essentially said is, I want an emergency fund. I want to make sure if something happens to me, my family's going to get taken care of. Yeah. And then I want to be able to put my money in the asset myself
yep.
that's generating all this stuff.
Got it.
Generating the home, generating the family, generating the opportunities. Why in the world would I take money, put it in other people's businesses that may or may not pan out, but at the end of the day are not directly like increasing cash flow? Like a dollar invested in your business is creating way more than any other asset, probably even including real estate right now.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts on that? And then if you weren't like that, which we could argue maybe you need to change your mindset, but if you weren't like that, is the stock market something that's okay?
You're going to go to a point where you realize, you know, $100,000 ain't that much different than 80. But what I did to get there, that's what makes the difference. You know, just because it's a little bit more money or maybe a better rate of return, it sounds cool at a cocktail party, but does it really matter? Not really. It doesn't. So the people that want to invest in themselves or at least find a way to give back. You know, if you're working 40, 50 hours a week, what do you do on the weekends or at nights, you know, when you have free time, how can you create extra value? Well, what are you good at? What are you passionate about? It could be fly fishing. Make a video series on how to create flies for fly fishing. My grandfather used to do that. He could have turned that into a business today. 50 years ago, it wasn't as easy. That's what I want to help people with. How do you follow your passion so that you're happy? And maybe when you get to retirement, you might have $850,000 instead of $950,000. But you lived a life that you yeah. could look back on and go, that was cool, man.
Yeah.
And this is why I stopped really caring to work with the retiree space, because now they're 62 years old. They have money in an account that they've never spent. They don't know how to turn it on into cash flow or income. And their solution is stuff that they've ignored their entire working career. So now they're going to have to get out of the room that they're comfortable in. And it's hard to convince somebody. I don't want to convince someone that what they're doing is not going to get them what they want long term. They have to realize that on them for themselves. And I think entrepreneurs already question everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I love it.
What do we disagree on? Let's make it fun.
I mean, I think you're more extreme on things like 401ks.
Sure.
There's some people that are searching for alternative investments.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that you and I look through the lens of entrepreneurialism. Mm-hmm. Some people are making really, really good W-2s, and they know that their it factor is finding other entrepreneurs that they can bet on. And I understand that not everyone is going to look through the lens of an entrepreneur. I think if you have the entrepreneur it factor, the only thing that you should be investing in is yourself, which means high emergency and then liquidity, whether that's life insurance or high yield savings accounts. You are going to be way better off 30 years from now by that, because of the opportunities that are going to come up. I just think that that's not everyone. And as much as I want everyone to be an entrepreneur, that's not going to be the case.
Yeah.
And so if you're not, I think you need to be looking for vehicles of value creation. And I think the 401k should be the benchmark. So let's say 8% is the benchmark, then you should be putting your money into that unless you can find something better. And your goal should be find other areas or other people that can yield greater value. That's the
see,
so
I agree
so
with everything. Why wouldn't you just do an after tax instead of a 401k?
You so a Roth. So you,
but a Roth still has red tape for access.
How?
Well, you can pull out principal.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. I wouldn't necessarily go. I wouldn't go down the Roth IRA. I wouldn't try to beat up the Roth, saying that it's worse than just a brokerage account. Because brokerage account, you have to pay tax every single year.
Maybe.
My whole deal is like, what is that value? What is that money being invested in? And it's the benchmark.
Yeah.
For you and me, we have other things, but there's a lot of people that don't.
Like, I just need a rate of return.
It's better than not. It's better than doing nothing. That's
so
my 2 cents there.
So that's why you put money in the 401?
Yeah.
Or a Roth?
Here's my thoughts on, let's talk about the 401k. If the stock market is going to be the thing,
yeah.
If like you're going to be like, this is the thing that I'm going to
they're out there.
Grow. I mean, there's trillions of dollars. Mm-hmm. I am okay with someone taking the match if that's the route that they want to go. Yes, there's going to be tax deferral and all that stuff, but like
we can disagree on something.
Yeah, but I'm not going to say like 401ks are evil because of the deferred. Like, take the free money if you're going to do that.
Yeah.
You and I don't do that
no.
because we don't believe in the market as a 30-year better alternative than what we're currently doing. That doesn't mean I don't believe in the market.
My why is a little different, but sure. Yep, I agree.
So
my pushback, because we got to get some controversy.
Yeah, let's go.
The only pushback is that I think people jump into the 401k because they think they're behind and they do it too soon. You don't, if they don't have the liquidity elsewhere, I don't think a 401k, even with a match, 401k
sure.
is not a great idea because they're going to pay penalty. Dude, how many people have you met in their 40s that have a couple hundred grand of equity in a house that they can't really get to or they don't want to get to? And then their biggest asset is their 401k and they have like 10 grand in the bank. They have no liquidity.
Yeah.
I met with business owners that $1 million business. I said, if you guys need 100 grand tomorrow, how are you going to get it? No answer. That's the problem I want to solve. So for the W-2 looking at, you know, I need my benchmark. I think a high yield savings is a great opportunity at this point, but I wouldn't I would just do an after-tax investment in the market. So that
you wouldn't even do a Roth.
Maybe do the Roth. Not until I had enough cash. No.
So yeah, I mean, we're,
but then but again, what are we
what's
about
enough
five
cash?
Grand?
Are you a 6-monther, a year? Where
6 month of cash.
I think you should have a year's worth of reserves off the table, especially if you're an entrepreneur. But even if you're not, yeah, 6 months could probably work if you're a W-2.
Well, forgive me. I say that there's 6 months in a savings account until you do much of anything else. And then
yep.
once you get there, then that's when you learn how to use other people's money because then we move it all around anyway.
Yep. I agree with that. Build up an emergency fund and then—
We're having a hard time disagreeing here, Caleb. If you and I were to work together— And 3 years go by, and you look back over those 3 years. Seriously, what do you want? What do you see better wealth being in 3 years? And is there another book in the works, or is that a rumor?
Yeah, there's a couple books in the works. I want to reverse engineer how value creation can be done and amplified. I think a lot of people, say, including you and I, you should create more value, and I don't think there's a lot of people showing us how to do that. So I'm like really interested in like how do you study value creation, how can we reverse engineer how a 19-year-old Matt could read that book and actually be more valuable.
Yeah.
that's exciting to me.
Yeah.
I also am putting together a Better Wealth workbook where, believe it or not,
you're gonna say that
we teach a lot of principles, but it's like it's not in a workbook. Shame on me. And so we're gonna be putting together a workbook that's gonna give the frameworks of how to get clear, how the questions that you should ask yourself, how to measure cash flow, things that enhance your cash flow in the future, things that take away from your cash flow. We're going to look at all things. So whether you don't have to hire you, you don't have to hire me, like you can take this workbook and do it yourself. And obviously there's certain products that you might need to get that you might need to work with someone that's specialized in that. But overall, I believe that you shouldn't outsource your financial, like you should take responsibility of your financial life.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is going to be is this workbook. You're going to be able to do workshops. We're going to have a course, and it's going to allow people to work with us in some type of way. So we're going to launch this thing called Better Wealth Office, which is pretty much a family office style concept for 6- and 7-figure entrepreneurs. That's another thing that I got clear. I don't want to go after the 8- or 9-figure guys. Like, there's a lot of amazing people out there that specialize in those people.
And they need the specialty.
The 6- and 7-figure entrepreneurs are getting crushed at every level. They're overpaying on taxes.
Yep.
They don't know their numbers. They have no estate plan. They're not saving. They're not investing. They need help, and we can provide that help. So that's kind of where my mindset is at. I would love in 3 years from now to be able to solve any financial transaction. So whether we're looking at disability income insurance, property and casualty, investing. Like, I would love to have an ability to have influence in every type of financial transaction, even like credit repair and all. And what I'm hoping to dominate in, I don't know if it's going to happen in the next 3 years, but I'm hoping for, if you're an entrepreneur that's a six or seven figure, you know who Better Wealth is, and you're either working with us or working with a competitor that's competing with us, because we're that effective when it comes to brand. So that's what we're trying to build, and I'm focused a ton on content, like a ton. Like, we are going to double down short form content and long form like we haven't done before, and I'm excited about that. We're going to really get clear about strategic partnerships. We're going to be hitting up and trying to incorporate Better Wealth into lots of people that already have know, like, and trust. So those are two things that we're going to do. And then we're also going to play with the paid ads game. But instead of trying to sell things like life insurance, we're going to do something like a wealth efficiency assessment, where we're like getting people to audit, like taking them through a process where they can say, okay, I have things that need to be better, not trying to sell you on something like life insurance. Like, these are things that need to be better. And so, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we're working on. And
I love it, man. You've come a long way since. How long have you been in business now?
I think like 7 years.
Yeah, 7 years. That's amazing.
It's actually not embarrassing, but it's like, you just learn a lot by staying in business. And I wish we were farther along in some areas, but in other areas, I'm like grateful that we are still in business. Like, we've made a lot of mistakes. We have an amazing team. Super grateful for that. If you would have asked me at 21 where I would be at 27, I would have inflated my numbers, because I would have been like, we're only doing this, we're only doing that. But I'm grateful because we've done the hard work. We have the foundation where we will be able to build. And I think a lot of times revenue is misleading, because you can make money a few years, but that catches up with you.
But it doesn't get the clicks. You have to talk about gross revenue online so people get
excited. Right. What I'm saying is, sometimes you can crush it for a first couple of years, but if you don't have a solid foundation, like going back to your financial life, if you don't build a solid foundation, you're one event away from it all changing.
Yeah.
I think in business, so many people are maybe just focused on sales marketing. Mm-hmm. They're not focused on the back end. And what I would say is, we're really focused on the back end. We're weak in sales and marketing. But the cool thing is, you can pour gasoline on a solid foundation, versus a lot of people are doing the opposite.
Yeah.
They're constantly pouring gasoline, but their back end, their it factor isn't there.
Yeah.
And so they're churning, and they're ultimately, their brand is a net negative. Whereas my hope is every year the brand is a net positive.
Yeah. I love to see it, man. You've done a great job with this company.
Yep. Awesome. Thank you so much for listening to the Better Wealth Podcast. It would mean the world to me if you could hit subscribe, leave a review, and share this with the people that you know and love.